Welcome to the teaching ministry of Pastors Carl and Cheryl Thomas. Our favorite verse is Habakkuk 2:14, "For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." Consumed by that revelation, we are committed to recognizing, resourcing, and releasing high-impact ministries resulting in global glory, transforming lives to impact their world. We have a teaching that will impact you today. Now, let's get right into that word. Romans 8:16 says, "The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God." So the Spirit himself, not just through the Bible, not just through reading the Word, but the Spirit himself, the person of the Godhead called Holy Spirit himself, speaks to us. Where does he speak to you? He speaks to your spirit. That's why it's great to understand how to mature your spirit, how to grow your spirit, so you can learn, because hearing the voice of God is one thing, but recognizing the voice of God is a skill. It's something that you learn and you develop. The Spirit testifies. He speaks to your spirit that you are a child of God and you can hear the voice of the Spirit. Proverbs 20:27, the spirit of a man. That factor of the human personality which proceeds immediately from God. When you're born again and your spirit's made anew and your spirit's made alive to him, it is the lamp of the Lord. That's where he communicates with you. That's where he reveals himself to you. The spirit of a man is the lamp of the Lord, searching all his inmost parts. Last week we talked about John chapter 10, where Jesus talked about the sheep and the shepherd. And Jesus said, the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name. He then said, there are other sheep not of this fold that will hear my voice. He was talking about you, and he was talking about me. He was talking about people that he would bring to himself. He was talking about the fact that the Jews and the Gentiles would be one. There would be one body. There would be one Lord. There would be one baptism. There would be one spirit. And so we all have been brought into this relationship where we can hear the voice of God. He said, they will hear my voice. Then he said, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. Can I get an amen again? All right, don't shout me down. Just give me it. All right, the sheep. I love what Cheryl talked about today, because that's what we're going to talk about today, about progressing in a relationship of I'm a sheep. But today we're going to talk about I'm a child of God. We're going to talk about I'm a friend of God. And we're going to talk about, and I'm a prophet. You're going to walk out with all of those things on you today. Thank you, Pastor. Thank you, Pastor. Amen. I love this, Elizabeth Barrett Browning. I threw it on my Facebook or Twitter somewhere today. But she said in one of her poems, she said, earth's crammed with heaven. Earth is crammed with heaven. And every common bush afire with God. But only he who sees takes off his shoes. Earth is crammed with heaven, and every bush is afire with God, everyone. He said, but only he who sees takes off his shoes. The rest sit around it and pluck blackberries and daub their natural faces unaware. You know, God is speaking, and you can hear his voice. But I want you to be able to recognize his voice, because it is his will to lead you and guide you every single day. It is his will that you are led by the Spirit moment by moment in your life. All right, so hearing God's voice, last week we shared three things. It was hearing God's voice is innate, hearing God's voice is learned, and hearing God's voice is matured. You can hear God's voice. You were created to hear. Talked about my daughter. Used my daughter as an analogy. She could hear my voice. She knew my voice. I could hear her. We had limited communication at first, but she could hear me. And then she began to learn the language. She began to communicate with me. And then she began to step into a realm where not only did she have a language, but her language was mature. And the language stepped into a realm where we could dialogue on a whole other level of maturity. Then she went to university, and she thought she was smarter than me, and she could start to tell me what to do. Then we started to develop a relationship on a whole other level. So it's good. She took this, you know, philosophy degree, and they learn all about rhetoric and how to argue with your pastor. So we've had a lot of fun. But you see, I love that relationship. When we first had a relationship, it was kind of boring, because I go, how you doing? She, yeah. You know, and then later on, how you doing? Give me candy. How you doing? I want to watch Goof Troop. How you doing? I want a cheeseburger. And it was, you know, but then she got to a place where she began to talk to me. And she began to share the desires in her heart, began to talk about the way God was speaking to her, began to share how she saw the world, what did I think, the things she desired to see impacted and changed, and the dreams that God had begun to pour into her heart. And then our communication was on a whole other level. And folks, we do need to grow up. I loved communicating with the baby. I enjoyed all of those experiences, but I really, really love watching the young lady grow into maturity and her impacting her world and being everything God's called her to be. That relationship is just blowing me away. And there's a lot of people become believers. They get all drunk on the grace of God. They get all hooked up on, you know, the initial foundational principles. And you must have them, and they must be real, and they must be secure. But God wants you eventually to be a meat eater. Hello. All right. That was good, Pastor. Thanks very much. So we talked about a mature approach, how to have a mature approach to communicating with God. And I gave you just some practical instruction there. Prepare to meet with God. Amen. Prepare to meet with God. I love the random encounters and all those things. But, you know, there's those times when you prepare, when you've got a set apart time. Hey, big fella, I'm coming full on and I'm prepared. I'm prayed up. I've been in the Word. I've been rich in things. I've been studying the world. I see what's going on. I want to come and talk to you about the affairs of life. I want to engage you in what's happening in my world. It is a prepared time where you're meeting with God. And it's a time where you're paying attention. It's a time where you're still. It's a time where it's not just about your requests. It's about hearing the mind and the voice of God. And then it's a good place where you can read and pray. Take the Word with you into the presence of God. And God will often speak to you through the Word, and you'll get revelation. But then also, if you're having an encounter with God, please always listen and write. I got a little touched on Wednesday night. I had my phone with me and started to look at some of the journals I'd made right on my phone and touched a few of them. And one of them, it was like it dragged me right back into that encounter that I had. And just, I could feel the intensity of that time with God that I had. And I was like, whoa. I'll step right into it. You see, when you journal those things, they're there. They're yours. You can keep them. You can go back and you can meditate on those things again. All right. Thank you, Pastor. Now listen, why does God speak to you? Why does he want to speak to you? What is the deal with that anyway? Is it like getting called to the principal's office? Oh, I got to go speak to God. I mean, why does God want to speak to you? Listen, look what it says. It is much more than just him wanting to tell you what to do. Like God doesn't want you to hear his voice. He's like, hey, pay attention. I got stuff for you to do. It's not about that. It's way more than that. It's about him satisfying his love. He has an incredible capacity to love, and he needs to satisfy that love, and he satisfies that love through a living, working, intimate relationship with you. God speaks to you because he's nuts about you. I mean, my wife, you know, she waits until the kids come home. Dylan will work till like 3 a.m, a late shift at the restaurant. And, you know, she's waiting till he gets in to go down. How was your night? How are things? What's going on? And Dylan's like, why does she do that? Because she's nuts about you. She loves talking to you. She wants to spend time with you. There is a love in her that cannot be satisfied unless it's expressed to you. And it's real important. And God has that kind of love for us. Listen, not only that, but he is looking for partnership in his purposes in the earth. God speaks to you because God has limited himself. Say limited. God has limited himself in acting in the affairs of the earth through the agency of men and women. God does things in the earth through people who are wearing a flesh suit. Pinch yourself. That's a flesh suit. If you were wearing just your flesh suit in outer space, you would die. Because if you're in outer space, you need a space suit. If you were underwater, you need an underwater suit. You have a suit that is conditioned for your environment, and God has determined that it is people living in these earth suits that they are the ones who will affect and bring about the purposes of God in the earth. Therefore, if his purpose gets done, he's got to talk to somebody. Well, if God don't like what's going on, why don't he just come down and deal with it? No, you see, God's limited himself by dealing with mankind. That's why his son had to become just like us, because God could do nothing except it was done through somebody in an earth suit. And that's the way it is. So when you see nasty things going on, God, how come you allowed that? He's basically saying it was your fault. It wasn't my plan. I didn't want that to happen. I was actually screaming from heaven, is there anybody that can intercede? He's searching to and fro, looking for somebody to stand in the gap. There is a problem. What I desire the world to be like and what it is, there's a gap. There is a gap, and somebody has to fill the gap. Is anybody down there paying attention? And everybody down here is going, oh, God, help me. Oh, God, do something. Oh, God, it's messy down here. Oh, God. And he's saying, would you shut up? I got a word. Would you speak it? Would you declare it? Would you speak these things? And I will enter into the atmosphere because of that living voice that speaks, and I will change the conditions of the world. If we don't like what's going on, folks, come on. In your own personal world, in your family world, in our world here as a city and all those things, I mean, God's done. I mean, when he sent his son, he said, it's finished. It's your turn. And he wants to work with us. So he loves you, and he wants to talk to you, but he also has purposes that he wants to get done in the earth. Ephesians 2, 4, and 5 says, but God's so rich in mercy because of and in order to satisfy the great and wonderful intense love with which he loved us, he made us alive together in fellowship with him, union with him, he raised us up. We were dead, doomed, and dominated, but he made us alive, raised us up, and seated us with him in heavenly places. Why did he do that? To satisfy his intense love. He loves you. He is nuts about you. He has always loved you. You've never been his enemy. He's never not liked you. If you ever were an enemy, or you thought you were an enemy, it wasn't true. The only place it was manifest was in your own head. We were enemies in our minds. But we were never enemies of God. He loves you, and he'll never stop loving you. You've never lived an unloved moment. Truth. Intense love. So he wanted to satisfy his intense love. Ephesians 2, 7. He did this. Why? Why did he make me alive, raise me up, and seat me with him in heavenly realms? Why did he do that? Why does he want to tickle me, laugh with me? Why does he want to hang out with me? What is it? And why does he want my relationship with him to mature? Because he did this that he might clearly demonstrate through the ages to come the immeasurable, limitless, surpassing riches of his free grace, his unmerited favor, and his kindness and his goodness of heart toward us in Christ Jesus. God wants to demonstrate his love for us, but then he wants to demonstrate the incredible plan and purpose of God. He wants to demonstrate how incredible his grace is, but he wants to do it through a redeemed community that has grown up in him and has the power to bring forth and to, through seed, time, and harvest, bring into manifestation the purposes of God, heaven invading earth in every aspect of our lives. Thank you for that rousing amen. So you communicate with the Father. I threw this, I think, some of my Facebook entries became my sermon this week. You communicate with the Father by crying in your infancy. But as you get older, you start to use your words. But then you actually get older, you actually mature, and the goal of God is that you start to use your authority. Let me say it again. See, there's a lot of people who just stay and go, I'm a child of God. Whoa. And it's awesome. But if a child doesn't grow, we take them to the doctor and say, what's wrong? But you see, you're supposed to use your words. When you begin to use your words, you get a bit older, but then you actually begin to mature and you start to use your authority. Little story, maybe odd, but may help you, all right? Now, it was about a year or two ago, I think it was, but Kevin was over at our house and we needed some munchies and we were going to make a massive pot of chili. And when we checked in the cupboard, we didn't have any kidney beans. So we said, Kevin, Dylan, here's my bank. Run down to the store and get us some kidney beans. So they went down to the store and they grabbed a cart and they started going up and down the aisles. And Dylan just throwing stuff in. And Kevin's like, your dad said to get kidney beans. Dylan said, yeah, I know, but he gave me the card. And I know that whenever dad goes to get stuff, he always gets more. And that's absolutely true. Like if Cheryl sends me for one thing, I get stuff. She sent me for milk once, and I came back with a $2,000 camcorder. And after 7 years of counseling, we're more or less okay. And the sad thing is, I forgot the milk. But anyways, don't ever do that, by the way. Okay. But here's Dylan throwing this stuff in. When Dylan comes in, they come walking back in, and they got bags of groceries. And when I saw that, I was like, yes. I was like, that was awesome. And I'm looking at all the stuff they got. But we pulled everything out, and then I pulled out these bag of dried beans and dried kidney beans. I went, yeah, we can't use these. I mean, we're ready for the chili right now. We'd have to boil these up. Those are kidney beans. Should have given a little more instruction there. But you know what? When he walked in the door with bags of groceries, I literally went, right on. I love that. And you know what my son did? My son recognized that he is my son. He absolutely is my son. And he's my child, and I love him. But he also realized that when I gave him the card, I gave him authority to behave like me. And he went out in that authority, and he exercised it. And he came back without fear. Look at all this stuff, Dad. I went, cool. You see, some people might go, Dad only wanted kidney beans. That's all he wanted. Not only that, I was totally excited, even though I get the wrong beans. Then I think I went out and got the right ones. But you know, God wants you to come into a place where you now begin to operate not out of, what do I do now? Hello? What do I do now? Can't move, can't step. I'm stuck. Hello? Speak, please. He wants you to go beyond in your relationship where you start to naturally act out your authority because you understand who he is, and you understand the privileges that he's brought you into. Hello. And you see, we got to step into that kind of maturity where we begin to exercise authority. You know, there comes a place where, you know, my daughter doesn't come home now, walk in the door and go, hello, Mom, I'm back and have peanut butter and jelly sandwich. If she did, she'll say, make it yourself. I give you authority. Get the fridge, open it, get out the butter, get out the peanut butter, do it yourself. If we haven't stepped into a relationship where you now begin to have grown an understanding of who you are and what your privileges are, if we don't step into the realm of authority, we have a stunted growth. We have a person who hasn't been able to come into full maturity. It'd be ridiculous for me to be controlling my children every day of their life now. They need to grow up. And a good parent trusts that when you raise a child in the way they should go when they're old, they will not depart from it. And God, the Father, loves it when you actually lay a whammy on something, take authority near you. He goes, I never thought of that, but that's really good too. Yes, yes. Remember when Joshua said, son, stand still. I could finish this battle today if the sun would stand still. If the sun goes down, I mean, we could totally win victory today if the sun would stand still. So Joshua went, son, stand still. And the whole Godhead jumped around and went, whoa! This guy is awesome. Son, stand still. There, God responded to a voice of a man. God watched over the words of Samuel. Not one of Samuel's words fell to the ground. Why? Because he got so wrapped up and so intertwined in the nature of the Father that his word and the Father's word were the same thing. God's word in your mouth is exactly the same as his word in his mouth. And when you speak, all of heaven pays attention to the voice of his word. But we've got to come into a very strong, mature relationship because you really can change the world. Thank you, Pastor. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Can we get an amen in the house? All right, look what it says. Number one, I'm a child. And Cheryl didn't even know what I was preaching on, but she was all over this stuff today. Number one, I'm a child. Number one, I'm a child. First thing I need to know is I'm a child of God. I've been brought into the household of God. I've been adopted as a son of God. The Spirit himself declares that I am a child of God. And by the Spirit, I cry, Abba, Father. So Galatians 3:26 says, for you are all sons of God, even you women. We're all sons and daughters of God. Every one of us, sons and daughters of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Romans 8:14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. The mature sons, the sons who know the voice. We are children of God. So you need to know very clearly you're a child of God. Turn to your neighbor, tell them you're a child of God. And that's good, but look at number two. Number two says, I'm a friend of God. I'm a friend of God. I love the way Cheryl did that. I didn't tell her to do that. She did. Some might say, you know, being a friend first and then a child. But no, it's a child first. You see, my children were children to me. I wanted to befriend them, you know, but when they were, you know, 6 months old, going, wah, wah, are you my friend? You want to hang out with me? They're like, wah, wah. They say, no, I'm friends. I have a relationship with my kids. We want to hang out together. Cheryl wants to go to Paris with Carly and spend some time. And Dylan's going, where are we going to go then, Dad? If they're going somewhere, we get to go somewhere. I said, absolutely. We're going to Tahiti. I said that, didn't I? Yes, I did. I don't know why, but I've always wanted to go to Tahiti. Maybe it's because of that Tahiti treat that I used to eat. I'm a friend of God. Exodus 33:11. So the Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. And then Cheryl read the passage in John 15. It says, I have called you friends. For all that I have, I've received from the Father, and all that I have is yours. He says, everything I heard from him, I have made known to you. He says, you are my friends. You are no longer my servants, but you are my friends. And I'm disclosing to you everything, all that's on the Father's heart, all that are his plans. I want you to know them, and I want our friendship to grow, and I want our partnership to grow, that we're going to realize these things together. So you step into a realm of being a friend of God. Number three, I'm a prophet of God. Woo! Not me, all of us. Say, I'm a prophet. Oh, I'm not a prophet, Pastor. I'm not a prophet. Well, there are prophets. I mean, there are real fivefold prophets. There are people who operate in the gift of prophecy. There's the spirit of prophecy. But the Word of God says that we're all prophets. All of us. You see, I am a prophet of God. Numbers 11:29. You see, when God wanted to take of the spirit of Moses and he wanted it to rest on the others, he wanted that anointing on them, he brought 70 elders, and it says God took of that anointing and rested on them, and they all prophesied, but it says they never did again. Because in the old covenant, just an anointing rested for a specific purpose, but it was gone, and it just rested for a moment. But in the new covenant, the spirit of God comes on us, and it's on us permanently. Permanently. It doesn't come. Oh, it's a permanent anointing of God. And when two of the guys didn't show up, they were late, got stuck in traffic. The drive-thru at Starbucks was really, really long. And they didn't make the meeting. Not in your Bible. Don't go looking for it. But they did not make the meeting. I don't know why, but they weren't there on time. The Spirit of God that fell upon the 68 also hit the two. And the two began to prophesy in amongst the camp. And some of the people who made the meeting said, they didn't make the meeting on time. Can we go kill them? Wild, isn't it? Who wants to kill people who don't make church every Sunday? Is it just me? Is it just me? I thank you for that round of applause. But it started way back then. You know, isn't it amazing? Some people are so uptight about their attendance that if you don't show up, they just want to kill you. Anyway, you know what Moses' response was? He said, oh, that all the Lord's people were prophets, that the Lord would put his spirit on all of them. That was because Moses was a friend of God. Moses understood the purpose of God wasn't these temporary anointings. It wasn't just a few people anointed. It wasn't a few people living in an open stream of download of glory. It was a whole baptized community flowing in the fullness of God, declaring the purposes of God not only to their world, but the world that they were in, bringing God's order and his kingdom into manifestation everywhere they were. That was what Moses saw. And then we see in the New Covenant, 1 Corinthians 14:31, for you can all prophesy. Well, I can prophesy. It doesn't make me a prophet. Well, you know what? You can speak as a prophet in your world. You can prophesy in your world. You can declare the voice of God over your circumstances anytime. You don't need to dial 1-800, blah, blah, blah. You have a direct link. You are directly hooked up to the throne of God, and you can hear his voice. Amen. All right, look, we're going to fly now. Say fly, Pastor. Acts chapter 2, verse 18 and 19. I will pour my spirit out, and they shall prophesy. This is my sons, my daughters, my men servants, my maid servants. They shall all prophesy. I will pour my spirit and they will prophesy. This from the Amplified Version says, they will tell forth the divine counsels, predicting the future events pertaining especially to God's kingdom. You see, the Spirit of God is going to come on them, and they are going to begin to declare the words of God. They're going to begin to shape their worlds and the purposes of God in the earth. They're going to cause the kingdom of God to come forth through their mouth. They're going to speak his words. They're going to do that. Now, look, I highlighted some stuff right here. You ready? It says, they shall prophesy. Just look at the red letters. You ready? They shall prophesy, and I will show. Did you get that? You need to get this. The red part is important. You prophesy, he shows. You prophesy, he shows. You speak, God invades the situation. You declare the purposes of God. the power of heaven is released to bring it into manifestation. You prophesy and he shows. That's how it works. If God's going to show up in a situation or a circumstance, it depends on somebody who will prophesy and declare the purposes of God in the earth. Let's go all the way over to Isaiah 48, 6 and 7. You got some of that on the screen there. Isaiah 48, 6 and 7. It says, you have heard these things foretold, and now you see the fulfillment. I will not bear witness, and will I not bear witness to it? I show you specific new things to come from this time forth. I show you specific new things to come from this time forth. God shows them. Isaiah 48, 6 and 7. I show you specific new things from this time forth, even hidden things kept in reserve, which you have not known. Verse 7. They are created now. Say now. The purposes of God, the hidden things of God, the reserved things of God that are reserved for present time and present truth and present manifestation, those things come into manifestation. Look, they are created now. They come into expression now. How do they come into expression? They are called into being by the prophetic word. They are called into being by the prophetic word. You see, you were born again, baptized in the Holy Ghost. You got revelation of the word of God. All of this to bring you into a relationship with a God, as a child of God, as a friend of God, but then as a prophet of Almighty God, where you get the mind and the heart of God revealed, and you begin to say, you want this in the earth? You want this to be the shape of things? You desire your kingdom to rule over this? Let it be. I command the kingdom of God to come forth. I command the mind of God, the heart of God, the purpose of God to come into expression. There are things in your world, desires that God has put on your heart, and you're going, oh, I wish God would do it. Oh, when is he going to do it? Oh, God, you told me that you would do this. When are you going to do it? He spoke it to you so you could speak it. He declared it to you. He wrote it on your heart so that you could declare it forth, so that he could then show his power and his majesty in that situation. Is anybody listening? Is anybody hearing? Anybody listening? They are created now, called into being by the prophetic word not long ago, and before today you have never heard them, lest you should say, I knew he was going to do that. I knew that. I knew that 3 years ago. You folks are just catching up. See, God literally wants to walk in an incredible, spontaneous relationship with you. Where, you know what, he's going to speak things right now. There's going to be current things dropping on you. He's just going to put something on your spirit. You're going to speak it, and you're going to see the manifestation of your word. He's going to watch over his word to perform it and bring it into manifestation in your world. You know why? He wants to get the glory. It's not something you're going to conjure up. That's why it says, trust not in your own understanding. In everything, lean entirely on the Lord. Trust him that he is, every moment of the day, he is able to lead you and to guide you, and you can literally speak authoritatively into your world, and you will prophesy, and he will show. Can I get an amen? All right, now, again, just going to give you some stuff, and these notes are all there for you. You could have downloaded them already. Who actually did download them already? Who did? I see that hand. Anybody else? I see that hand. That's pretty awesome. Good for you. Well done. Now, really fast. Going to go through these really fast. Here you are. It's more information. You got to have your own inspiration. Going to give you 7 basic leadings of the Holy Spirit. I'm just going to mention them. And you can download the notes and you can look at them. But 7 basic leadings. There's many, many more, but these are basic ways the Spirit will speak to you. Number 1, inward witness. The Spirit testifies with your spirit. You're born again. The inward voice. In Romans 9:1, Paul says, the voice of the Spirit, the voice of the Spirit spoke to me. Actually, that's Acts 10:19. It says, the voice of the Spirit spoke to him. But then there's also in Romans 9:1, he talks about there's that inward voice. That's where God speaks. Then Luke 1 talks about knowings. You know what to do. You know, Cheryl and I never prayed about getting married. That's what happened. You know, we talked to each other. We said, that's a pretty major decision in life, and we never prayed about it. Isn't that wild? We prayed with each other. We enjoyed each other. We prayed. We read the word together, did all kinds of things together. But I never once sat down with Cheryl and said, we better ask God if this is right. But each of us knew right away, within 2 weeks of us spending more quality time together, when I asked her, Dad, can I date your daughter with the purpose of considering marrying her? That's what I said. You don't test drive people. I said, The only reason I want to do this with your daughter is because I believe that I'd like to marry her, but I'd like to find out. And could I court your daughter with the intent of asking her to marry me? And he went, well, I'm good with it, but her mom wants to kill you. Which was true. But anyways, but somehow we all got past that. And why would she want to do that? I mean, aren't all of you right now, I'm sure I can hear a resounding, why would she do that? He's so awesome. He's such a cute guy. I mean, my goodness. Anyways, but I'm thinking, wow, we never prayed about that. You know, both of us said we knew that this was God. And you know, in Luke chapter 1, here's the inspiration of Luke to write a gospel inspired by the Holy Ghost. It seemed like a good idea. You would think if you're going to write a whole gospel, it'd have a little more inspiration than that. But you know what he said? It seemed good. Why did you go to Dairy Queen? It seemed like a good idea. Now, that probably might not be God, but anyways. But we do it after bowling every week. Anyway, okay, so knowings. Then there's visions and dreams. Acts 2:17 talks about you shall have visions, you shall have dreams. Then there's the Word of God, the Word. And you know what? The Word of God isn't just something you read. Sometimes I've been ministering to people, and the Lord will literally just drop a scripture right into my heart. Bang. Scripture, and he'll just speak a scripture. I can remember my dad, when my dad was called into ministry, the prophet stood in front of him and just gave him a scripture. And he said, study to show thyself approved, a workman who need not be ashamed, who can rightly divide the word of truth. Then he moved on to the next person. My dad felt that word, even though the prophet only said a scripture, that scripture was the call for him into ministry. A scripture called me into ministry when I think I was only about 6 years old, and I was on the floor on 980, I think it was 980 Gerald Street in Montreal, in the basement of the church, and the Sunday school superintendent, I was messing around as usual, and the Sunday school superintendent went, Carl, go ye into the world and preach the gospel unto every creature. And I said, I mean, I know that was the scripture, the memory verse for the week, and she was trying to teach it to all the kids, and I was, and she went, Carl! But I always told her, Norma Rideout, people ask me, when were you called into ministry? I said, in the basement on Gerald Street in Verdun in Montreal, Norma Rideout said, Carl, go ye into the world and preach the gospel unto every creature. And that pierced my heart, and it was immediately memorized. As soon as I got in the car, my parents said, what's the memory verse this week? I went, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel unto every creature. But it wasn't just a scripture. It was a word right from the throne of God for me. What's amazing is I've preached on 5 continents now. Ministered the gospel in 5 continents. Isn't that cool? That's very cool. The word, and then prophecy. I've had many prophecies. There was prophecy that Agabus prophesied. He prophesied over Paul there. So there's prophetic words. These are 7 basic leadings, the 7 basic ways. The Spirit can lead in a lot of other ways. But I'll tell you this. Listen now. How will the Holy Spirit speak to you? How? He'll speak to you the way that you hear. It's not going to be the same for everybody. Just because he speaks to me through knowings, he may actually speak to you through dreams and visions. I've got prophets, when they prophesy, they're going, yea, the Lord would say, and they're literally reading a scroll above the person's head. And they're going, the Lord drops scrolls over their heads, and I just basically read the scroll. Isn't that cool? He never does that for me. I just start, and I go, brother, the Lord just, and then there's a knowing that comes, and it comes like a river. It just comes out of my belly. And I'm actually listening as I speak. I go, wow. You know what I've learned? I can trust God. That every time I step out, I open my mouth and he fills it. And he speaks different ways. He uses everybody in a different way. Why did God speak to the wise men through the stars? Because that was their language. And you know what? God will speak your language. Don't try to hear like I do or like Fred or Bob or Sue. Just you hear. And God is speaking to you. And you can recognize his voice. All right, really quick, 7 tests. 7 tests. How many enjoying this so far? 7 tests. All right, 7 tests. How many know if you've got something that is coming to you and it's outside of the Bible? It's outside of the Bible. It's outside of the Bible. It's coming to you. It's an extra biblical revelation. It's something coming to you. It needs a filter. If something's coming to you, it needs a filter. Why, Pastor? Because it could be stupid. It could be the devil. And it could be just some whacked out fleshly thing. 3 sources of everything. Spirit of the flesh, spirit of the world, the devil, or God. So sometimes that's why you need discerning experience. You got to figure out, where is this coming from? So you need to test prophecy. You need to test what God is speaking to you. I'm always careful of somebody who always hears from God and it's always right. Well, God told me, Pastor. Oh, did he? Well, how have you tested that? Have you submitted that to a process or to anybody? No, God talked to me. When God talks to me, it's from up on the big shelf up here, and you can't touch this. God told me. I know a lot of people who sat in my office and said, God told me, and they're not alive today. They totally backslid, totally shipwrecked their faith, total mess. And I can remember sitting there with them and saying, I believe that you believe you've heard from God, but can I pastor you, or did you just come to give me information? Because if you just come and it's an information meeting and you just want to tell me what God said to you, God bless you. But if you want to be pastored, can we put that through a filter today? Because I want to be sure you're hearing from God. A lot of people are afraid to do that because they're all smarty pants. I do that. I test all those things. Number one, test the Spirit. Where is it from? You know, I can have somebody prophesying, yeah, I would tell you today the Lord loves you. He loves you, loves you, loves you, loves you to bits. Hallelujah. They go sit down. They go, that was not of God. The content was of God, but that wasn't a prophetic word. That was not somebody who just spoke something by the power of the Spirit. That was just some nut who wanted to be heard. Now, the content was absolutely right, and especially if the person came up every week and said, yay, again, the Lord would tell you, he loves you, loves you, loves you, just thinks you're amazing. Eventually, would we not all get tired of that? Because we know that already. Thank you very much. I know we all need to hear it again, but sometimes people can be saying the right thing, but you don't test the words. First of all, you test the Spirit. Test the Spirit. Test the Spirit. Then also test it in this test the content. Is it biblical? Number three, does it glorify God? Is it a good thing? The Lord wants us to go down and get a whole bunch of paintballs, yay, and paintball that whole business that is resisting us from taking this property. Let us go down now and... That doesn't bring glory to God. That would just be stupid. You know, so it doesn't pass. Pretty neat examples, huh? Amen. Okay. Test the vehicle. Sometimes we have to test the vehicle. I mean, you know, God does speak through donkeys. That doesn't mean that, you know, Pastor, we should go get a donkey. And the donkey should be sitting here every Sunday. And we should feed it very well. And we should have a time in the service where we all stop and say, donkey, did you want to say something to us? Pastor, God's used donkeys before. Yes, because he couldn't find anybody else. Because the person riding the donkey was a bigger donkey. Just because God did it before does not mean it is his preferred vehicle of use. And you know, when I get people who want to come, sometimes God uses donkeys. Sometimes God will speak to you through people. You're going like, I would have liked somebody else, but you know what? That was God, and I got to take that. But there's other times if that person keeps on that and you test the fruit of their life and they can't even get 2 feet in front of the other, sometimes you got to, is there any fruit in that person's life? And I'm going to take that one with a grain of salt. Can God use everybody? Are everybody prophets? Yes. But we got to test the vehicle sometimes too. Test the atmosphere. Did that word bring you into greater liberty or bondage? Now don't misunderstand conviction for condemnation. Because there's times you may hear a word and it may be a word of correction. And at first you may say, well, that didn't make me feel more free. If you'd pay attention, it will. But where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Emancipation from a form of bondage. Does it create liberty? Is there an atmosphere of liberty? But there are times you'll get a word of correction. And sometimes from the pastor, because the pastor's job is to rebuke and to correct and train in righteousness. How many know that rebuking and correcting, I love that stuff. All right, so anyway, just test the atmosphere. It should lead to freedom. It should feel inside. You should bear witness and go like, this is leading where the Spirit of the Lord is. There is liberty. There's emancipation from every form of bondage. Number, last one here, not the last one, but test the direction. Where does it lead? You know, if somebody says, hey, you know, that lady over there married to Bob, I think you should marry her. It doesn't lead anywhere good. Pass that one away, and what is it saying? And then test the accuracy. Did it happen? And then, you know, when you got some, and there's accuracy, and you know that that's a vessel that, wow, You know, those are people that you want to build in your life because they really hear from God and there's accuracy in the words they share. But you need to test prophecy. Amen. Don't be afraid to test your own words from God. If it didn't happen, it's okay. You don't have to defend it and make it happen. Well, I said the Lord told me this, so I'm going to make it happen because I'll look like an idiot if it doesn't come to pass. And I know people like that. They try to make it happen because they're embarrassed at what they thought God said he didn't say. You know what? Just here, listen. We prophesy in part. We know in part. That's why we need to have relationships and people that we work with who help us find the mind of God together. Can I get an amen for that? I don't want to submit my purposes to anybody. I don't trust anybody. I only trust God. Well, the one God says, trust people. Okay. That went where I thought that went well. The one you trust says, trust people. It's all right. Trust your pastor. I put him in your life. He's a good guy. He can help you. You know what? I've given them to equip you and help you, and you need to be in a relationship with him. He's actually anointed to do the stuff. I have anointed him. He's not a person with a gift. He is a tool in my hand to help shape your life. And you need to have those kind of relationships. Well, I met with you once and it wasn't very pleasant. I know, but, you know, I'd had a fight with my wife the night before and I wasn't quite over it. I hadn't got my way yet. And no, just kidding. Okay, one more screen. You ready for another screen? Are we ready for another screen? There it is. Oh, we got excited. Okay, go back. There you go. Acts chapter 13, three parts to an encounter. How many know this is pretty heavy-duty teaching for a Sunday morning, Pastor? That's why I threw the notes out early, all right? Three parts of an encounter. You encounter God. There's a word from God. There's some extra biblical revelation that came to you. How many know if God touches you, he probably wants to tell you something? Read your Bible. Every time the glory was revealed, God spoke. When the glory is there, there's a voice. God shows up for a reason. It wasn't just to knock you snotty face on the floor. All right, three parts of encounter. There's revelation. That revelation needs interpretation. And then that revelation needs some application. All right, Acts 13, they were serving the Lord, ministering the Lord through prayer and fasting, reading the word, getting involved. And then the Spirit spoke and said, set apart Paul and Barnabas. They said, wow, that was an extra biblical revelation. That kind of came out of nowhere. These guys are really incredible members of our church. I'm not so sure I want to send those guys out, but let's pray about it. Let's really seek the Lord. They sought the Lord. And they realized that that is the word of the Lord. So then they took them, laid their hands on them, and they sent them away. They got the revelation, sought the interpretation, and they made an application. Thank you. I got a head nod there. Got a head nod there. Good stuff, amen. How many wanted to know, what do I do when God speaks? I'm giving you all those tools. How awesome is this? All right, go ahead. Why does God want to speak to me? It's much more than him just wanting to tell you what to do. It's to satisfy his love, and it's for your partnership in the purposes of God and the earth. Really quickly now, I'm done, but I just want to give you just a couple of small examples, all right? Remember a couple years ago when I went to Nigeria? How many remember I went to Nigeria? I'll tell you, for about 6 or 7 years, they'd been asking me to go to Nigeria. And they kept on sending me these letters and say, the Holy Ghost has spoken to us. It is right to him. It is right to us. You must come to Nigeria. And I went, no. They'd send me another letter the next year. You must come speak at our conference. I'd run into them at other conferences in Malaysia and all these places. They go, you must come. And I went, no. And then they said, we want you to come to our national convention in Port Harcourt. I went, Port Harcourt? I mean, people disappear in Port Harcourt. I mean, there's people who went there, they've never been seen again. I talked to the Canadian government. They said, if you go to Port Harcourt, we cannot help you. There is nothing we can do. If something happens to you in Port Harcourt, we have no vehicle, no ability to help you. Do not go to Port Harcourt. So then I asked the Lord, should I go to Port Harcourt? And he said, go to Port Harcourt. And I went, is there anybody else up there? And I remember I went into Cheryl's office. I went, Cheryl, I believe God wants me to go to Nigeria this year. And she's like, are you nuts? Nobody goes there. I mean, that's crazy. I went, I know, but I got this heavy-duty sense, and I said, and I don't remember if you remember, but I said here that I am going there, and it's an apostolic assignment. I don't know exactly what it is, but it's not to speak. Although I'll speak at a conference there, I believe I am there at an apostolic assignment to align something in the heavenlies, to deal with something in a region. And I really felt that. It wasn't just to speak, because I can speak anytime. I don't care about going and speaking. I'm not a speaker out for hire. And, you know, I went, and I was there, and I spoke, and I enjoyed it, and it was all good. And then the very last meeting, the big meeting, one of the fellows in the back, they have a row of prophets in the back, and he went, "Yeah!" "Yeah!" Now, I began to realize after being there for a while, two yays mean get out your pencil and your paper. I'm going to prophesy. So I wanted to write the stuff down, but I couldn't quite. His accent was so heavy. But all I did pick out was I could hear something, my servant, D. Carl Thomas. And so I knew it included me somehow. So I wasn't sure what was going on, you know. But then all of a sudden, the president and their national secretary, just they got up and left the platform. Now I'm sitting there going. Then a guy turns to me and says, "You know what you're doing now?" And I went, like, "Am I in trouble? Or like what happened? I don't even know what happened there." So then they come out with this great big jug of oil, and they said, "Come, come, come, Apostle Thomas, come." And so I'm like, so the Peter kneels down in front of me. They give me this big jug of oil, and I'm still not sure what's going on. So I'm like, pour the jug of oil on his head, and I just prophesied just wild, crazy stuff. It was awesome, you know, and so that's good. So then they got up and said, "Come with us." All the trumpeters. And they had about, you know, 15 guys with trumpets in the back, and they all came. And they all jumped in these cars, and we had a caravan, and we left the grounds. And I'm like, my son's in the front row, and he's like, "Where are you going?" I went, "I don't know." So we go off to this building, and we're in this building, and then all of a sudden we're in the building, and they come over, and they go, "Trumpeters." And they went, and then they all go, "Oh, no, Apostle Thomas, pray." Then they gave me the jug of oil again, so I figured, got the oil. So they didn't give me any person in front of me, so I guess we're slapper on the building. So I'm like, pour it out on the floor. And then I began to prophesy and just go for it. I'm like, hope it's good. You know. Okay. So then we're in the car now going, and we're going to another building. And so I'm like, okay, excuse me, but I had the leader with me in the car. I said, "I'm actually not quite sure what we're doing." You know, and he said, "You don't know." I went, "No." He goes, "Oh, my, we're doing really good." I went, "Oh, is this good?" He said, "I am the son of a great witch doctor." "Oh, yeah?" "I came to the faith when I was a young man, and my father locked me in a shed and beat me every day to renounce Jesus, and I refused to." And I'm like, "Right?" "Then my father led a group of people who worshiped this regional god. And he says, we cut the idol down of this god and we threw it in the ocean. We chained it and threw it in the ocean. But people have now, worship of this god has begun to rise up again. And there are people out in the ocean trying to find it. There are people diving, trying to find this god. They want to reestablish it in this region." And he said, "The prophet said that because of that resurgence of this principality in this region, you have been sent by Almighty God as an apostle of God to cast that principality out of this region forever." And I'm like, I was like, "Oh, yeah." He says, "The buildings we're taking you to, they were early buildings that were established by the missionaries. And whenever the missionaries would come, the witch doctor would come and curse the building, and they would get sick and they would get sent home. But throughout this conference, the week of this conference, everyone who stayed in these buildings has been sick. Several of them are in the hospital in critical condition right now. But the prophet said that you are here to break this curse once and for all and cast this principality out of the region." So we got to the next building, and I was like, "Oh, my God." I was almost better when I didn't know. They gave me the old jug of oil again, and I went, "Holy cow, here we go." They go, "Trumpeters," I go, "play really loud. Holy cow." I mean, play this song, "Jubilee, Freedom." You got any more trumpets? I'd love to have 50, not 15. And then I'm like praying, "Wow." And I just went for it. And they were all pretty happy with it. They were all pretty thrilled, and they thought it was done. But what's interesting is that morning was my last morning with them, and I was going to preach that once and for all, you're going to put your foot on the neck of these kings, and you shall never see them again. And I was like, man, this is all working out good. You know what? When you walk and are led by the Spirit, he makes you look like a genius. Now, my time is gone. I'm sorry. I had about 7 or 8 more stories here to talk about, so many, but we're going to leave that alone. Well, I was with Bobby in Wales. When I was in Wales, the Lord gave me a dream. Dylan and I were in London, and I had this dream two nights in a row. And I was in a car, and going in the car, I was sitting kind of perched between the two chairs in front of me. And as I was going, I could hear these two people bickering and talking back and forth. I knew that this guy was the leader, and I knew that there was some kind of conflict, and it wasn't going the way it should go. And I reached up, and I grabbed the emergency brake, and the car spun around, and I turned to him and said, "You drive. You have the vision. Get it done." And then I woke up, and it happened two nights in a row. I told Dylan about it. I said, "What is that all about?" It was so vivid, so powerful. We're sitting in the pastor's room, and he began to tell me what was happening with his leadership team and what was going on. All of a sudden, that came back to me so clearly. And I said, "God, I don't know why he sent me here. Bobby asked me to come, and I don't know what I'm doing here, but I realize that God sent me here right now. I'm pulling an emergency brake in the spirit. I'm putting an end to the strife in this house. You are anointed to be the leader of this place. Every other voice is going to be silenced. I'm going to pull an emergency brake in the spirit, and this foolishness is going to stop. You're going to turn, and this church is going to go the right way." And then the next day, they had, I didn't know how the meetings were planned, but they had a meeting planned where we just spoke to their leadership. And I talked about the mantle of David and how David was a man after God's heart and how David was given the vision to lead the place and what the heart of David was. And I said, "There's a man in this house, and there's a man in this house that's been given this vision, and we're going to anoint him now." And I just really felt, and I believe, that there was an alignment there of the hearts of the leadership to come behind this man and begin to agree with one vision. Because if there's more than one vision in a house, you have die vision. And at that meeting, we also had a couple there that were there. And I said, "I want to pray for you. I'm not sure why, but the Lord really wants to minister to you. He wants to touch you. There's joy all over you." And they said, "That's amazing. What's your name?" "Mr. and Mrs. Joy." So that was a neat meeting. So, well, that makes a lot of sense, you know. Well, I got a whole list of stuff. And Cheryl, I mean, we've been used so many times, and God speaks so many ways. But honestly, listen, if you'll listen to the Holy Spirit, if you'll obey him and you'll honor him and you'll get mature in the voice of God, he really will make you look brilliant. And it's more than just he wants to tell you what to do. It's more than just God has uptight plans. God loves you. He's mad about you, but he wants to fulfill his purpose in and through you. Amen. Can I get an amen? Come on, stand up with me. We're going to pray. Sorry about that. Got a little carried away with my stories. You know, come on, Wednesday night. We talk more about these things and share these things, and you can ask questions and grow in some of this understanding. But this is paramount. These things are important. Hearing the voice of God, activating the voice of God in your life is so important. Come on, raise up your hands. Raise them up in the air. Yes, ma'am. And you can email. You got questions, you can't be there, email, text, do something, and we'll get back to you. You know, interact with us. We want to pastor you. We want to bless you. We want to lead you. We want to know what God's saying to you. We want to grow together. Okay, hands up. You're all under arrest. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you that you are a God who speaks. Thank you for the scripture that says you will make your glorious voice to be heard. And Father, I pray now in Jesus' precious name that you would just so clearly free each and every one from any preconceived ideas, but free them to know that you created them to be a child, to be a friend, and to be a prophet. To be a child of God with every blessing, to be a friend who walks in revelation and knows the things of God, and to be one who walks in the power and the authority to loose the things of God. So, Father, we bless you. I pray that this would get deep in each and every heart today, and you'd bless each and every one in Jesus' name. Now just put your hands down for a minute, just for a minute, and listen. Listen. And I want you all praying right now. I want you praying. You're a believer, you pray right now. Now, if you're here today and you say, "I don't know what that's about or what's going on. I don't hear the voice of God. I didn't know I could. I'd like to. I don't know if I'm a believer, but, you know, whatever this is, I want to know God. I want to be a child of God, a friend of God. I want to be used by God." If you're here today and you don't know him, I'm going to lead you in a prayer before you go, and you will know that you're a child of God. So if you're here, I'm going to count to three. And I just do that so you know when to put your hand up. But if you don't know God, you will today. And I'm going to count to three. And if you don't know him, put your hand up, and we're going to pray for you. Are you ready? Everybody praying. Nobody's looking around. Their eyes are all closed. This is you and God, and he's speaking to you. But if you don't know him, you put your hand up right now. You ready? One, two, three. Let me see your hand. Put your hand up really high. You don't know him, and you want to know him. Got one hand back there. Anyone else? If you don't know him and you want to know him, please, right now, put your hand up. See, we have another hand right there. Another hand. Anyone else? You know, this what's going on in your heart right now, it's Jesus. He loves you. He really, really does. And you know what? This is a real beautiful community to be brought into. Now, look, I want you all to pray together. We got a few people right there. Put their hands up. And I want us all to pray. You ready? So you pray. Everybody's going to pray with you, but you use these words, and we're going to, with our mouths, confess Jesus as our Savior. You ready? Jesus, I confess that you're my Savior. You died for my sins, past, present, and future. And I confess right now that I'm forgiven. I thank you. You died for me, you're raised for me, and you're alive today. And you're my Savior, and you're my Lord. Now, Jesus, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Invade my heart. Baptize me with your goodness. I receive you as my Lord. Receive you as my Savior. In Jesus' name, amen.